Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In his message titled Blessing and Cursing, Reverend David Williams tells us that the fire of language has the ability to shape and define us. We need to be wise and hear the language of God so it can shape us in God's Spirit. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we gather here today with the taste of fall in the air, we come together as a people who are always being transformed and changed, because change is a constant in our lives. We are children for a moment and then we're not, and we're young and we have no aches in the morning for a while and then we don't, and life moves on and change is there. But not all change is the same. There is the change that comes with growth. There is the change that comes as we deepen in understanding, as we deepen in compassion towards our neighbor, as we build ourselves into our strengths and those gifts and graces God has given us. But then there is also the change that is worked upon us by bitterness, by anger, by loss. There is the change that is worked upon us by a culture that turns everything into a commodity, even our neighbors, even our friends, just objects to be used. Who are we becoming? If we are honest with ourselves, we don't always know the answer to that question. And so in the truth that sometimes we let our change be changed towards brokenness, let's now come into God's presence asking God for guidance and mercy as we let change not be a blessing but a curse in our lives. Please join with me in praying the prayer of confession. You can find it in your bulletin. Gracious and loving God, we know that we are not who you have called us to be. We're not totally sure who we are now, but we do know some things. We know that we have not yet changed those parts of ourselves that you would change within us. We let ourselves become convinced, much as your Spirit works to change us, that we are trapped on one path. We let ourselves imagine, much as Christ proclaims the gospel to us, that our destiny is a broken one. Forgive us, Lord, as we resist your efforts to change us. Forgive us, gracious one, and turn us towards your grace. In Christ we ask this. Amen. We have confessed our struggle. Now, let's together proclaim the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from the letter of James. I'll be reading from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. That's James 3, 1 through 12. You can follow along on page 230 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes, Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it was a beautiful late summer day just a week and a half ago, and the kids were out of town.
Thank you.
Last page, always good to have that. I just wing it. Thanks, Monica. So my wife and I decided it might be nice to get out in nature. It was a warm day, but it was good, and we wanted to go for a long walk in a nearby park. This is a park that's just a few minutes walk from our house. 75 acres of forest and meadows, a reminder of what Annandale was like when Annandale was a little town smaller than Poolsville before the great wave of suburban development in the 50s and 60s swept across it. This was a space that used to be farmland once, before the trees were let grow on those abandoned fields. And in the forest, you can still find the ruins and remains of old houses and the rusted out hulks of 3/4 century old abandoned farm trucks still sitting there, scattered in the shadows of the leaves. It's a lovely place to walk and be quiet and be still and talk and spend time. And those woods, because it's a park, are intermingled with soccer and baseball fields, basketball and tennis courts, and a smattering of playgrounds for the little ones, those plastic tubular slides that my tiny little children used to go sliding through. It's also got the best sledding hill in the county. And it's got a farmer's market in the summer and an amphitheater where bands and entertainment plays on the weekends. It's a lovely place to be. And so we geared up to spend time together there and took our sniffling and snuffling pup with us and wandered through our neighborhood and found our way across the 4-lane in between us and that space. And we went into the park. And it was, because it was a summer day near the end of summer, bustling and busy with energy. There were people out playing soccer. There were people playing tennis. And under a cluster of shelters in the main picnic area, there was this huge gathering that was just starting to happen. It was a gathering, as best I could tell, of Ghanaian immigrants preparing for a shared meal. And they were all wearing orange shirts. They were all matching. And the air was filled with their laughter and the sounds of their preparation as they came together. And the rich lilts of that lovely accent filled the air. And there were little kids running all over the place, as they do when their parents are trying to get things done. And one of them, a little girl of maybe 5 or 6, ran by and started squealing in mock terror and ran back to her father, who stood there laughing because she was so scared. "Daddy, that dog scares me," she said, looking at our totally innocuous fluffy pup. But she was giggling and not really afraid and safe in the arms of her father. And as we walked further on, we heard up ahead in the amphitheater the sound of music. It was insistent. It was heavily amplified. And I said to my wife, "I wonder what's up there." And so I began walking towards it because I assumed, looking at the festival gathering around me, the orange-clad Ghanaians, that this might be part of some larger festival of African culture. And I wanted to get closer, and I wanted to hear that music. And as we got closer and closer, I realized that that wasn't part of that festival at all. It was music that thundered and thumped in the thundery, thumpy way of so much of the music that's listened to these days. And as I listened, I attempted to determine what genre it was, and I'm getting old, so I think it was like hippity hop or something like that. Whatever it is the whippersnappers are listening to these days. And we got closer, and I began to pick out the lyrics, which wasn't hard because it was very, very loud. You could hear it like half a click out, and I realized the lyrics, too, were contemporary in the manner of hippity hop. Someone was laying down a rap, which in some forms can be as elegant and challenging as the best spoken word poetry, but this weren't no Maya Angelou I was listening to. Most of it seemed to have to do with Bentleys and expensive alcohol and the effects of both on the women one was interested in. Only right there out in the park, broadcast out a full click, it wasn't women, but seemed to be referring primarily to female dogs and gardening implements. And then there was reference, again broadcast to the entire world, about how the singer's rivals for the affections of said women should not mess with his excrement, and then how they could all, as far as he was concerned, engage in loveless self-fornication, although not using that language. There were then multiple references and uses of a contraction which Freud would have known, I think. It referenced an Oedipal relation with one's mother. And I'm like, I don't know this music. And then there came a woman's voice, a woman who then, because women can do what men can do, she had an even more pungent vocabulary, and suddenly I was like, oh, I know who this is. I recognized it, the timbre, the cadence. It's Nicki Minaj, I told my wife, feeling faintly pleased with myself for having some clue what the hippity-hop kids are listening to these days. And we thought, who is listening to this at that volume here in this place where there are children playing and people gathered? And we reached the amphitheater, and it was just a group of kids busying themselves around the stage as they were preparing for what was to be an upcoming event, and they were setting things up, and everyone was casually but nicely dressed, as multi-ethnic as a Target commercial, and they were working well together, preparing the stage, getting things ready. And they were just testing the sound system, and the music wasn't the event at all. They're just putting that on as background as they work. And we walked past the sound, and my wife and I look at one another as we go on down this beautiful wooded path, a stream of objectification and obscenity pouring into the forest around us, and only gradually being smothered out by the trees and the leaves. And we thought about the little girl afraid of the dog and the children playing. And, you know, I'm progressive and I like change. I do. And I will say I'm a liberal. I am a liberal. I like encountering new and different things and cultures and keeping my mind open about ways I can engage with them. But as profanity danced off the trees in the woods, I ask, I know these kids aren't meaning to be offensive. They don't hear it at all. It's just background sound, the chatter of their culture. But I couldn't think of it as good, the way that it describes how human beings relate to one another, how it describes what's important in life, the way it sings the truth it proclaims into the world, isn't just meaningless noise. It conveys concepts and ways of understanding. And that has power, even if it just floats in the background of our consciousness as we busy ourselves about other things. Ideas, language, that has power to shape our world. And that's something James knew. Over the last month, we've been working our way through scriptures drawn from the various wisdom traditions, the book of Proverbs, the book of James. And in James, we have one of the most practical, one of the most grounded, action-oriented books in the whole New Testament. And that is what wisdom is. It is action literature. It is writings about how we live and how we are. And it's focused on what is the way we structure right action in our lives, because that's what makes the difference between a real faith, a faith that changes the world for the better, and a faith that is dead or hypocritical or lifeless. Right action is what James is all about. James, who demands over and over again that our actions match our faith. When James says faith without works is dead, as he did in the scripture last week, he's not saying don't have faith. He's saying let your faith have fruit. Let it live in the world. And that's what wisdom does. It teaches us how to live. But it goes further than that. It recognizes the importance of the way we speak, the way we convey truths to one another, because wisdom grasps the deep connection between our thoughts, our language, our words, and how we act. And sure, James acknowledges that language can be meaningless. We can talk in empty platitudes. We can talk about our faith as if it's this floaty thing up there somewhere that has no connection to how we live. But James knows that the words can be empty as we speak them. Words are not meaningless. Language bears within it the seeds of action, our sharing of the symbols and sounds that let us communicate with one another as human beings, as social creatures. That is a central part of what it means to both be human and to live together. Language weaves us up, allowing us to hear and then act together on what we hear. Because language, this complex form that we have, allows us as human creatures to organize ourselves, to move and think and share in ways that go so far beyond what any other creature in God's creation can manage. I know the bees are impressive. They are, and they build their little hives, and they do their little dances, and they tell each other where things are. But they can't do much more. And dolphins say awesome things, but, we don't know exactly what those are yet, and they don't have opposable thumbs, so there's only so much they can do. Our language allows us to plan, to reflect, to coordinate our lives together. And that means language can, through the way it works in all of us, either magnify our joy together or deepen the brokenness we create in one another and in the world. It is a fierce and powerful thing. It is like a fire. The tongue is like a fire. And not, as James says, not just, you know, like a candle in the wind, not just like a lovely Yule log crackling in the hearth or on our screen during Christmas because we don't have a fireplace. It is like 100,000 acres of Washington State Forest with roaring vortexes of wind-driven flame, 0% contained, the smoke visible from orbit. It can be that kind of fire. Human language is immensely potent. This ability to share knowledge, our way of understanding, to convey potential into one another. And with that potency, knowing how powerful that is, wisdom says, be careful around your use of language. Be careful with it. Because I know sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And the saying that every parent has when your kids start getting into it with one another and they're little now, use your words, dear, use your words. And so they say, well, you're stupid and ugly and everyone hates you. It's so, and you know, that doesn't leave a mark at all. Language is powerful. It burns like fire. And in this era of mass media, an era when the broad spread of language has grown explosively, that power has not been diminished. We're only 500 years of humanity into this experience human beings are having with mass media. 500 years since Gutenberg like carved and slapped together and made that typeface of his. And things have accelerated so rapidly since the word became easily spread. Information expanding, exchanging rapidly, virally, allows cultures to change in a heartbeat. And that print media got layered over with broadcast media, which is in the process of morphing into the peculiar mess and corporate wildness of the internet. And with each transition, our ability to spread thought has grown and magnified. Our ability to transition into new ways of thinking and new states of being has accelerated. And as we encounter that change, as it burns through us like a fire, we need to be aware that while change is not always wrong, it is not, it can be. Because common shared assumptions within culture can be that fire, that brokenness. And just because a particular thing is all around us and that it's a shared assumption of our culture, that doesn't make it right or good or blessed. I don't like being a hater, as the hippity-hop kids say, but I don't see any value in things that are misogynistic and objectify and describe other human beings in terms that are actively hateful and that make hate and negativity central. Those things color who we are. And here I'm not suggesting that the issue is that people are cussing too much. Stop the cussing, stop it. I have known honest and good souls whose natural vocabularies are not what one might call churchy. My motorcycle mechanics, for example. Or if you've, anyone, do we have military personnel here, anybody? Everyone is all sweetness and light, and there's never, you know, Navy, no, it's cursed like a who? What is that? Good people may have less than demure language. But cursing goes deeper than that. The issue is the use of language to cast out a story of our identity together, to say, here is who we are, here is what is valuable, and yet say that that is inherently negative. It is a thing that diminishes our ability to love and to care for one another. Language can convey dehumanization. Language can convey hatred. Language objectifies. Language commodifies. I know and I feel this week as I, for reasons known mostly only to my own strange mental functioning, decided to read Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. I read that whole book this week, and it resonated strangely with James's teaching on anger and on the way that words can burn through a people like a fire. And I read that book, and I, knowing something of German history, could see why those thoughts caught fire. Why that hate resonated with a people, why finding the enemy, in this case, the Jewish people and anyone who cared for them, why finding an enemy was so toxic and so flammable. Language placed on a culture that is full of anger can create fires that burn wild and out of control. It is something we can't forget, something I don't forget, as this evening we begin, for them who know and love Jewish folks as I do, we begin the High Holy Days for the Jewish people. Language that culture will never forget can bring about all manner of horror, because that language leads to action, and it is all part of a piece that tears apart our world. So listen, listen, James says. Listen to what is spoken. Take care about what you hear and what you receive. Wisdom tells us, be wary of how you speak, because what you speak might be a fire of hatred or a bitterness that rests in someone's heart. And be wary equally of how the fires burn around you. Go out and listen with a heart that can discern what is good and what burns. Listen carefully. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
The fire of language is all around us. It shapes us. It forms how we understand ourselves. Try to understand yourself without using words. Try to explain yourself to another not using words. And there, if, I don't know, maybe one of you, if there's a good interpretive dance person here, you know, you could try that at the fellowship hour, maybe that'll work. But language shapes our self-understanding. It shapes our understanding of who we are as a people. And the challenge we have as the fires of our culture burn around us is that sometimes that understanding is a dark one. It leads us to be more hateful. It leads us to be more anxious. It leads us to be more challenged when it comes to showing the most basic compassion to
to other human creatures. As we step out and as we listen to that great din of words and song, as we watch entertainment that would embarrass the Romans in the circus, as we encounter this culture with its violence and its anger, be aware of what effect that has on you. Does it change how you interact with others? Does it make you more anxious? Does it make you more angry? Does it make you pass that on to others? Because there is a fire we are meant to spread. The fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God's grace, the fire of God's goodness. When you feel those fires burning in your heart, ask yourself, as a wise person does, what fire is it? And to what end will it burn? What truth will it make happen? Step out into the world and use God's Spirit to discern what fire it is that burns in and motivates you. And if it is that fire of anger and darkness, check yourself just a little bit, because that fire burns to no good end. Step out, engage, listen, and in all things be wise. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.